Welcome to Endangerously Sports.
Woo! We did it! We made it to the second episode!
I did throw my back out a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
It's a compound sitting bruise. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go on the IR. Or as I like to call it, the... Man, I can't think of a good I word, so I'm going to make something up. The Intraceable Romo.
Yeah! Speaking of Endangerously.
Yeah, so not a great week for quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think NFC quarterbacks are endangered at this moment.
honestly, I think, and, you know, it's funny because things are always fluid. You know, there's going to be somebody that's going to step up that you never expected. There's going to be guys that hurt you didn't think.
Right.
If the NFC wins the Super Bowl this year and it's not Arizona or...
Right, or Carolina.
Yeah. Then the NFC has accomplished quite a feat.
Yeah, no kidding, because that is certainly one of the things that is lacking in the NFC is quarterback play, aside from, I mean, what you've got, Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton. I mean, Drew Brees is still playing. He's still playing.
Yeah, you know, and he gets stats, but, man, they are not winning many games these days.
They just don't, even when they're putting up 50 points, they don't look that good doing it.
Right.
I don't know how... Like, they don't get those style points, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, they're also not winning games, so...
True.
at least last year. And then... You got your Russell Wilson and Carson Palmer. I feel like I probably missed somebody. Matt Ryan, he's all right.
You know, the funny thing is, like, if you actually roll down the list, because we always talk about this, whenever we're talking about how we would diagnose a problem with a football team, or more importantly, like, put together a team if we were playing GM or whatever, we always start with a quarterback. And you always look down the list, and I was like, see, I could live with that guy, I could live with that guy. And so you roll down the list in the NFC, and there's a lot of guys in here that seem to have some potential, seem to be decent. But when it comes down to that elite batch, like,
it just
right now it's Aaron Rodgers in the NFC.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, we used to give Drew Brees that kind of props.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not that he doesn't have it anymore, but when your team is losing that consistently,
right?
It's
tough to count on it.
Yeah, it's
because I mean, if your defense is giving up 50 points and you have to put up 51, I mean, even Drew Brees can't do that every game.
Right. Well, and it's the pressure to do that. Like,
right?
Oh, it's awesome that I threw for 6,000 yards this year. But you know how many times you throw for 600 yards in a game because you have to try to come back from a major deficit?
Yeah, you don't want to do that more than like once in a year.
So, I mean, but that's the thing is like sometimes your quarterback can get pretty good stats in garbage time.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
when your
funny.
Whole game is garbage time.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Well, it's I just, feel like... I mean, Blake Bortles benefited from that a little bit last year, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's funny because, you know, we kind of talked about that we think that Jacksonville might be onto something.
Right.
But at the same time, like, you know.
Yeah, I think I do think they've taken a step forward, but also they're so young that this year we could easily see, like, nope.
Yeah. And, you know, and again, it comes down to they put together a lot of playmakers on offense, but is that defense actually going to stop anybody?
Exactly.
That's, you know, that's kind of a common theme with a lot of teams, I think. And there's a couple of teams that we're going to get to on the NFC side that had that same problem.
We can start in the NFC East.
So let's start in the division that's been the most awkward one to try to pick for like 1,000 years now.
Yeah, because, in all seriousness, is there a team in this division that if you found out at the end of the year that they won, that you'd be genuinely surprised?
No.
I mean...
Not one.
The closest would be the Eagles, I think.
And they might be one of the better teams in the division at this point. But that's the thing about this division. It's like...
Yeah.
I think what's funny to me is that there's really two teams that it always comes down to in this division. It's Dallas and it's the Giants.
Right.
And it's whether or not they absolutely suck. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because like, someone else will win the division if they both suck.
Yeah, exactly. They're either going to be the top two or the bottom two in the division, it seems
like.
Yeah,
it seems like it's always that way. Like,
at least
it's
lately.
Just, yeah.
Because I think, let's see, so the Redskins won this past year. The year before it was the Eagles, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, because I think...
they started off really strong, and then they fell apart at the end, I think.
That may be accurate.
Man, you see how much we really don't remember football unless it's...
Hey, we're researching this year.
We're talking about our expectations for this upcoming season.
We're not talking about
2014. Come on. We're oracles, not history majors.
That's exactly right. Now, the NFC East looks like they play the NFC Central, because I see Lions, Packers, and Bears.
Oh, my.
Exactly.
Nailed it. Film 11.
And let's see. What's the other division? They're getting the NFC North. Or AFC North, I mean. Yes. Yep. They're getting the AFC North.
And unfortunately, that doesn't bode well for any of the teams there.
No.
Because the AFC North is going to be ridiculously difficult.
Even the Browns could... Even the Browns last year... probably stand toe-to-toe with all these teams.
Well, the funny thing is that I feel like the Browns, you know, we talked about them, it all depends upon the way the ball bounces, blah, blah, blah. But, like, they could easily end up being, like, an 8-8 kind of a team.
Right.
And it's probably because they got to play this division.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, that's the thing about it. This division is that division that every year it seems less and less like we have this team that actually wanted to step up and win it.
Right.
And it's this team that, like, survived.
Yeah. Like, last year, I think the Redskins just survived.
I really think Washington just kind of, like, slid in on everybody else's inadequacy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you hate to say that. Because just when I look at their schedule this year, like, I'm going ahead and start and kind of get into some of the predictions. Like, I don't have Washington with that good of a record. And, you know, the thing is, like, they should hypothetically be slightly improved with some of the defensive pickups that they've had.
Yeah, I mean, team, I think, is probably a little better than last year, but, I mean, that doesn't make them good.
Right, right. It's like, I'm going to use the Sarah Palin joke, and every episode I'm going to attempt to make the lipstick on a bulldog joke. But, diggy, 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 can't you see?
I wonder if that scratching digging is on the... it's audible.
Probably. But anyways.
Zoe, have fun.
Speaking of that scratching digging, it's so hard to try to pick this division, and it always is. We already said that. So, right now, just looking through the games, just looking at the net schedule, I have the Giants winning this division at 9-7.
This division, I think, is maybe more than any other division, like, just throwing a dart at a board, like, and
that's
seeing
what I feel
which
like
one
I'm
you
doing.
Get.
Completely.
I think the Eagles are the team I wouldn't pick, mostly
I would agree
because
with that.
Of they're going to have the, you know, they've had the coaching changeover. They still have Sam Bradford as their starting quarterback who has already, you know, he was told on draft day, essentially, you're not our guy.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're renting you for another year. So, and I don't think Bradford is up to the task of winning that job. Like, at the worst, I could see, you know, if it wasn't a first round draft pick, top two draft pick, I could see him not losing the job, but I can't see him doing any better than just quote unquote not losing a job. But when you've got it was number two pick in the draft,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Sitting on the bench, you got to do better than that. And I mean, just don't see it. So they're out of it for me. I'm gonna give them, this is gonna be rough, 4 wins.
Ooh, it's so hard because again they're gonna have to play the North or the AFC North.
Yep. I think those are like
and the NFC
all
North.
Losses.
And it's about who wins those like little sideways games that could go either way. You know what I mean? Like, who
the
wins
NFC
the games
Central
against the
earlier?
Browns? Huh?
Did I call them the NFC Central earlier? The Packers?
Maybe.
Like, I might have done that.
I think it went back
a few years.
There's only one team that's not in the Central.
They used to be the NFC Central, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All those teams plus Tampa Bay for whatever reason.
Yeah, that's right.
We had the Battle of the Bays.
Remember
like Favre
when Tampa
and
Bay
Sapp.
Was in the NFC West? Do you remember that? It was Atlanta and Tampa Bay, San Francisco... And who is the fourth team that was in the NFC West? Oh.
For some reason, I thought the NFC West was Atlanta, San Francisco, New Orleans.
It was New Orleans. That was it.
And
And it was Tampa Bay.
I don't feel like it was Tampa Bay. I feel like it was the Rams. Because Tampa Bay was in the... Because they were in the NFC Central. Because you got to remember, when we're talking about the... Yeah, when we're talking about the pre-alignment divisions, we're talking about having five teams.
Okay, so they weren't in that division. I was just totally wrong. So they were in the AFC West for 1 year.
Oh, wow.
In the 70s.
Wow.
Then they were in the NFC Central for the majority of everything.
Yeah.
And then the NFC South. Who was... Okay, so then it was San Francisco, the Saints, the Falcons... Was it the Rams? I guess it must have been the Rams. Because they were L.A. for a while.
Right. Because they were originally L.A.
And even when they went to St. Louis, they were more west than Atlanta or right. New Orleans.
Was it when Carolina came in, did they go into the west to give them
Maybe.
Five? I think that they went to the
that
west to give them
it.
Five.
Yeah, it was a
like
mess
when they
for
went
a
from
while.
28 to 30, I think that's what happened. And then they went to 31, the odd year that Cleveland was like the sixth team in the AFC Central. And then when Houston came in, they went 32 and won eight divisions.
Oh, does everybody else enjoy reminiscing on old conference alignments?
Because you know what's funny is there's somebody listening going, no, that's not what division they were in. That's not what division they
Because they still have the like the poster from the 1993 yeah. NFL season on their wall that they just never took down.
Yeah, well, they with
or their parents the never
NFL,
took down.
The NFL Shield logo that has the stars for all the teams instead of the divisions, you know.
Oh, man, those were the days. Okay, so.
Good times.
So you've got the Giants.
I have the Giants at 9-7. And... So it's like with every team.
You
in
sound
this
really
division,
confident about it too.
I know, right? That's what's terrible because, like, I love to hate the Giants for some reason too. I don't know why. Maybe it's Eli's smugness and like. I'm so glad Peyton got another ring, so they at least both have two.
Yeah,
because
so
Eli,
of course,
you're not getting another.
They'll
one.
Win this year somehow.
Why you gotta say that?
Well, they don't really have. See, the thing was when they won before, they had great defenses.
Yes,
they
by
don't
far.
Have great anything. Anymore. No. I mean, they have a great receiver.
Yeah.
like a great receiver. And like, that's kind of, they've got some other
when
good
when he's not outside of his
good players.
Own head, you know.
Right, exactly. Yeah, if he can stay in the game.
Mentally, yeah. It's just like, when I look at this division, I feel like the ceiling for any team in this division is probably 10 wins.
Oh, yeah.
And that's with basically them running through the division.
Yeah.
I feel like that's going 5-1, 6-0 in division.
Right. I agree. Completely agree.
And then the floor for any of these teams.
This could be one of those 7-win division winners.
Yeah.
Like this could be another one of those.
I mean, I have all these teams between 6 and 9 wins. And let's just say that none of them are over 500 except the Giants that I picked to win it.
Yeah. So,
and the funny thing is that, you know, if you had asked me a week ago that the Cowboys are the runaway winner of this terrible division, like everybody else is going to be sub 500 and the Cowboys are going to be like 12-4. And then Romo goes down and then it's like, you know what? We were really hyping them up and their defense is still god awful.
Yeah.
Why did we think Romo alone was going to get them to 12 wins? Because he doesn't usually.
Well, I think because up until a couple years ago, at least, he was. I just haven't kept up with passer ratings basically since the QBR came out. But he, at one point a couple years ago, had statistically the highest passer rating of any quarterback in NFL history for his career.
Wow.
During the regular season.
Yeah. Playoffs?
Exactly.
Playoffs?
So
I guess I didn't hear. Oh, go ahead.
So sorry. I'm just going to get this out of the way because we're in the right division to get this out of the way. For all the people, because Tony Romo gets so much flack. Like,
yeah,
he get. I
he
mean,
really does.
He's probably the only quarterback who gets more guff than Tom Brady in all of the NFL.
And I think that Tom Brady
except
is,
for maybe, well, Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, well, this is
different, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
There's a difference between... I deserve it all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I think that's the problem with being the quarterback of America's team.
Right.
As much as I hate that, like, slogan that they've branded themselves with.
Yeah,
like,
but they did make themselves
no,
a brand.
Yeah. There's no more scrutiny that comes with a single position in football.
right.
than being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
And as good as he's been, he hasn't had an absolute complete team around him. You know what I mean? Like they've had some good years.
I think they were the best year they had, like the best they were as a team, was the year they got to the NFC Championship and there was the Dez Bryant catch, no catch.
Yeah.
I think that was the best.
That was probably
team.
Their destiny year.
Yeah, I think so.
Just for kicks. Are we ever going to have a good revised catch rule in the NFL?
No, it's just never going to happen.
Yeah, I agree.
I think we completely got off of what I was going to say.
Yeah.
But I think that, in all honesty, they might just a little bit like that everyone talks about the catch rule all the time.
Yeah, I guess in the odd way that Goodell likes to be in the spotlight.
Yeah.
I can get that.
It's in that same sort of vein of just
I see it. I totally see it.
Just like, but our rule says. Like, but what does your rule mean?
Article 1. Yeah. Yeah.
It means...
Deflating footballs.
I loved it. We both went there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
funny. At the
same
time.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Tony Romo gets more flack.
Gets so much flack. He gets called, like, I mean, there's no other football player that gets these memes that constantly call him more derogatory versions of a wuss. Like, I see memes like that just constantly on the internet. Just as a reminder, there's a quarterback who had his ribs broken, punctured his lung, went out, led his team to a comeback win over, if I remember correctly, a superior team.
I think so.
It was the San Francisco 49ers. I believe that was one of the good 49er years. And that quarterback was Tony Romo who did this. I've never seen anything like it before. And, I mean, you know, players play hurt all the time. Never seen a player have his lung punctured, go back in the game and get his team back into it, then, you know, leave later and like, oh, you know you punctured your lung, right?
It's like, you remember that game that Chris Sims ruptured his spleen or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
That's completely irrelevant with any of the topic, but yeah.
Right. Well, you know, and then the game where he gets hurt, he fractures his vertebrae? Is that... He tried to come back in. He tried to go back in the game. And the coaches were like, no, rest up. We need you healthy. Well, no, little did they know.
Yeah.
He broke his back.
Yeah.
I mean, so Tony Romo, as frail as he seems to be getting, which is just old age, he's like 36 years old, you know?
You know,
he's
not in the kind
of shape that like a Tom Brady has gotten himself into. Like, that's a thing that I think... When people talk about how Tom Brady's doing it better than other people at this age and like seeing like, oh, the cliff has to come. None of these other quarterbacks, like you didn't see Peyton Manning get in incredible shape, like the best athletic shape he's ever been in his whole life. And you don't see that with Tony Romo right now or like any of the, like the Brett Favre's, any of these guys, you didn't see them get into the best shape they've ever been. And like, I think that's the difference. I think.
Yeah, I see it.
Don't. You know, because I don't blame those quarterbacks. They're like almost 40 years old. Why do they want to do that?
Right.
I'm 31. I don't want to do that. but I think Romo's body, I think his body's breaking down. I think we just gut feeling. Have we seen the last of Romo as a Cowboy?
It's so funny because I was going to ask you, should he retire? That was where I was going to go with the next question. And honestly, I think no. I think that he's going to gut it out and he's going to try to come back. But, like, I feel like we're just going to continue to stretch this out. You know what I mean? I feel like he's just
like
going to come back.
Like, it's just going to go downhill. Like, it's just going
to
be more of this.
It's going to be this again next year. You know, he's going to – maybe he makes it through the preseason because they probably sit him. And then they get to, like, week three, week four.
The third play of the game. He breaks his
and
back.
It's such a minimal contact play compared to most things.
Right.
You know? Like, that's the thing that I've noticed a lot is – I feel like there's been such an increase in the number of non-contact injuries.
Right.
Granted, this was obviously a contact injury.
Yeah.
But it's not contact in the way, like, I mean, you see a guy get his clock cleaned and you're like, yeah, he's going to have CTE concerns the rest of his life.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, he's just going for a slide and kind of gets hit and, like, I mean,
yeah. And so he lands awkwardly.
And he got Batmaned by Bane, like, right there in the field. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like,
it's nuts. But anyway. So all that to say, I actually still pick the Cowboys to win the division. I think the Cowboys will win the division at 8-8.
I can see it. You know, I said before, nothing will shock me.
Here's what I think will happen. I think they will win a tiebreaker with the New York Football Giants at 8-8.
Did you just Berman that?
I did.
So the funny thing is, because like the reason why I'm leaning on the Giants is because, so I look at the division and you're looking for quarterback play. As much as I don't care for Eli, he's had a bad couple of years.
He's kind of the only one left in this division with
Romo not really being there. And you know, I know Dak has looked decent in preseason, but you just can't count that as regular season. You just can't.
And so, you know, when we do our first...
Not when teams are giving vanilla defenses, you know.
Yeah, when we do our first sort of like... Because we'll be doing these periodically throughout the football season, so when we do our first episode...
For some reason, I feel like you were going to say the New York Giants football season.
The New York Football Giants season.
Yeah.
We will... we'll probably... The first episode, we'll have an idea of what Dak Prescott is. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Because we'll get to see 4 or 5 games of film.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I think we'll probably be asking, if Romo's healthy now, who plays?
Right.
We'll either know for sure, or we'll be like, oh.
Yeah.
It could be the Tom Brady, Drew Bledsoe.
And that's the thing about it. I guess that's the difference, is that if we get 6 games into the season, and Dak Prescott has played reasonably well, if they're sitting 3-3, 4-2, 5-1, which I can't remember what the beginning of their schedule looks like. I had to look it up.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember the exact order of their schedule, just who they play.
But if we're sitting in a place where they're decent.
Oh, and they could be. Yeah, we see. Oh, wait. I'm looking at their preseason. Oh, no. They really could be.
They could be. They're going to have a couple of games that they definitely should lose. Like, they should not beat Cincinnati. They should not beat Green Bay.
They could be 4-2 going into the bye.
But they really could be 4-2 going into the bye. And then coming out of the bye, they're going to have very winnable games against Philly and Cleveland.
Yeah.
So, if Dak is playing well, this could be the thing that seals Tony Romo's fate.
Yeah.
Now, which team would take the gamble on Tony Romo in 2016?
Honestly, I think about 10 teams. An LA Rams team, the quarterbacks that were drafted, Goff and Wentz
to Philadelphia.
These guys, do you actually see any, like, I don't see anything there.
The funny thing is,
I see two backup quarterbacks.
I do. And I feel like, I know that the NFL's rookie salary cap, you know, has helped teams a lot.
Right.
And it's helped teams to not have to gamble on a quarterback that they're going to have to pay $100 million to.
Right.
But at the same time, I feel like ever since that's happened, there's more teams that say, well, then we'll gamble on this guy.
Right. Because they're like, I guess they're like, well, the contract won't be.
Like, if the contract's not going to be a burden. We're not going to have a Sam Bradford contract with potentially a Sam Bradford turnout. We could get this guy for what would have been a third round pick that year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kind of a contract, and then see what happens. But at the same time, it's like, it doesn't make any sense to me, because if the guy's a second round talent, what difference does it make what you're going to pay him? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, feel like the prime example that I can give you is that I do know that Dallas, already being a little bit uncertain where Romo stands health-wise, they were in love with Carson Wentz. And they couldn't find a right number of things to leverage to get a deal to move up. And so Goff and Wentz go 1-2, and they're sitting there at 3.
Yeah.
And
they got the better pick.
And they got such a better pick. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if Ezekiel is going to end up being a stud in the NFL.
Right. But if I'm
all
the
signs
Cowboys,
point to yes. But, like, if they just get a running game to go with what else they have,
yeah,
it could make their offense so much more dynamic that it's not going to matter.
They had a running game last year, like a more than serviceable running game, in replacement of DeMarco Murray with McFadden and, Randall, until he kept doing stupid things.
Yeah.
they had a running game. Was it Lance Dunbar who filled in?
I think so. But that sounds right.
But anyway, so this year they've got Ezekiel Elliott, Darren McFadden still there, who I think last year showed us that he could still be a number one running back on a team.
Yeah.
And then they've got Alfred Morris this year too, who we've also seen can be enough. So they have three guys that I think a lot of teams
can legitimately carry the load,
would use as their number ones. Yeah. And so I actually think they are in a much better position than they've ever been in to be able to go, we're rebooting at quarterback.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't think we've seen the last of Romo. I think he comes back for one more stretch and probably gets hurt within a couple of games, and like just like last year. And then I think he still tries to come back, but it winds up being for somebody else.
Yeah.
I think this is the last year of him being a Cowboy. I think so. Unless
Dak's god awful.
If Dak is horrible,
and then Romo plays the other 10 games really well.
Yeah. But Prescott looks, I mean, he looks at least serviceable.
He looks like he belongs.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't like, look, and that's the other thing I've heard a
couple of. The game doesn't look too big for him.
Right.
It's not, like, he's going to make rookie mistakes and everything, but it doesn't look like everything's moving too fast for him, which you see that with a lot of rookie quarterbacks.
And that's one thing that I'll say about Andy Dalton, because I've said this about him before, is, like, he makes some dumb throws sometimes.
Right.
And it drives me crazy. But the thing that's always been good and bad, because it's bad when it snowballs, but like it just rolls off his shoulders.
Yeah, he's just going to keep doing it.
That's what I see from Prescott. Uh-huh. Is that, you know what, it doesn't bother me, we're going to keep going. But he also hasn't had one of those big blow-ups. Like he hasn't thrown a pick six yet.
Right, he hasn't had a three interception game that he had to try to figure out how to win.
Right.
You know, I think that might be the toughest feat in sports for a quarterback, especially like, I think that's like when you've got a 3 or 4 interception game going and you're still in the game.
Yeah.
Like, which happens, you know, because maybe you're throwing these picks, but you know, your defense is stopping them and then like kind of no harm, no foul in the end,
right.
But like your confidence can start to go.
Yeah.
And you know, it's the great ones that you'll see. They go, all right, well, this next one's a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
If he can get a couple of those games in him where he can throw a few interceptions and the defense doesn't totally collapse and give the game away, because then it will just feel like that was his game that he just gave away.
Right.
Which, I mean, will kind of be, but, you know, it's a rookie. You got to expect these things.
Right.
But if Prescott looks even serviceable this year, I think he's the quarterback next year.
I can't argue with that. It's just at some point you have to move on.
Yep.
And you hate to say that because we've seen that happen with players far more beloved than Tony Romo. We all still remember Joe Montana putting on a Chiefs jersey. I remember Jerry Rice putting on a Raiders jersey.
And those were rough to see.
So at some point, and it just feels like it's overdue almost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You hate to say it, but it's like Tony Romo he's been a broken man for quite some time.
Oh, yeah. And especially if Prescott and Bryant get on the same page, if those two get on the same page, I think it's done. I don't think Tony Romo even plays this year.
Yeah.
Like, if they get a hot streak between the two of them, I think that could be it, because that's your guy, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And out of that whole team, really, I mean, if it's not Tony Romo because you can't count on him because of his health, then Dez Bryant is your franchise.
Yeah. You know? I can't argue that whatsoever. Plain and simple. If they get on a tear together,
yeah,
you are not going to break up the hot hand.
I don't think so.
Because you want Dez to stay hot.
Because you want him in that he's your guy.
Well, and what have we said? This division's god awful.
Yeah.
So
if you can get to 8-8,
Dez on
you
hot,
got
a hot
good
streak,
chance.
Means you're going to go to the playoffs.
Right. That's exactly
division.
What that means.
I really do.
And so okay. So I said Dallas 8-8, Giants also saying 8-8. I could also see the Giants being a 5-win team.
That's the thing that I hate about picking this division, because we're going to look at this at the end of the year and we're going to be like, oh my God.
Every one of these teams I could see being as low as 4 or 5 wins.
Yeah.
Every one of these teams I could see being 8 or 9 wins. I think 10 is the ceiling for a great year.
I think 10, again, I think 10 is that year where one team sweeps the division.
Yeah.
Like, if there's someone that can just step up and just somehow win all of these garbage games against the other teams in the division,
yep,
they could get to 10 wins, but otherwise I don't see it.
Yeah, so I've got them both at 8-8. I got the Redskins at 6-10. I think I don't think they necessarily take a step backwards as much as they remain where they were. That's really the whole explanation. Then I think the Eagles bottom out this year. I think this is... going to be a rough one for Philly fans.
So the funny thing is for me is that I had the Giants at 9-7, and I basically have everybody else at 6-10. And you know the funny thing is because it's like, oh, that means they ran away with the division. Like, but it's such a bad division.
Yeah. I think they could all end up at 6-10 in a four-way tie. There's too many scenarios to figure that out, but I think it could happen.
Yeah.
So, any other stories in that division? I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think that...
It'll be fun to watch Josh Norman and OBJ twice a year.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
But that's... I don't think it'll have any impact.
Do you think Kirk Cousins is a franchise quarterback?
No. I think he is... Ditto. He's a top-level third-tier quarterback. Like a top of the third tier. Like,
I don't know if I go that high.
Well, I mean, I don't think he's the top. I'm like, he's like in the third tier. He's in the third tier includes most of the people who aren't in the first and second. Like, it's a very big tier.
Yeah. I mean, I see what you're saying. I guess when I think of the, you're right. I don't know what I'm smoking. Because when I think of the tiers, I think of like the top tier is like, there's like four guys that are just absolutely elite.
Mm-hmm.
And then tier two is like, those guys are almost elite, which is like another five, maybe.
Yeah.
And then tier three is like, it's where most of your starting quarterbacks are. Yeah, like, oh,
well, these guys are good.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to win you games.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they won't lose them.
So, I mean, like, one, I'm talking like Rodgers and Brady. Two, I'm talking about guys like Breeze, like Cam Newton, like Carson Palmer.
Yeah.
You know. Relatively right now, anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I get to hear that, I'm talking about like Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
Like, he's clearly a franchise quarterback.
Right.
But I would not be like sold on my future as a franchise if he was my quarterback.
Yeah. See, I put Flacco and Eli at the bottom of the second rung of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Basically, as like, these guys can actually win you games. So I think that's where that my top level is like, these guys are worth like, all the money you can give them.
Right.
You know, your Brady's, your Rodgers, I think Breeze is falling out of that. I think he's probably at the top of the second tier now.
Yeah.
I
think Breeze and Carson Palmer are kind of...
Yeah, they're right around
and
there.
And it's funny because I so wouldn't have put Palmer in that era, but it's just...
But
they're playing so well now,
couple years have been good.
Yeah.
He's shown us something. And then yeah, but like that second tier of guys, I think they're the guys that can win you games.
Yeah.
And then there's the next tier of guys who don't lose you games.
And see, the funny thing is, and this will be the last thing that we talk about while we're still dancing sort of around in the NFC East before we really take off into the North.
Yeah.
Is that when healthy, I feel like Tony Romo was right in the middle of that number two group.
I think Tony Romo was almost in the top tier. Almost, but like... It's the health. The health always kept him out of it. Mm-hmm. Like, if he'd have stayed healthy the whole time, I think he would have, because you get into a groove, when things start going right, they can really start snowballing, and everyone starts, the defense starts to expect you to make those throws,
yeah.
And so they start to mess up, like a self-fulfilling prophecy sort of thing. I think there's a lot to that. Like,
oh, yeah.
I think that's what happens with Aaron Rodgers. I think that's how Aaron Rodgers gets two Hail Marys in, like, last year.
It was back-to-back weeks, wasn't it? It was like 3 weeks
They were
apart.
Pretty close, though, yeah.
It was like the second or third to last game of the regular season, then the playoff game, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. Because basically, the one Hail Mary...
Oh, yeah, it was a playoff game against Arizona.
Yeah.
Because they tied it up, and then Arizona still won over.
Right. But it was still nuts. Like,
yeah, it was exciting.
I think I think part of that is a self-fulfilling prophecy sort of thing. It's like, Aaron Rodgers is going to make this happen.
Yeah.
And we can't stop Aaron Rodgers. And
well,
that's why... I picked them to win the NFC North.
Boom! And I did as well. But here's the funny thing is that you look at the team last year, and obviously some of their struggles were injuries.
Right. They still don't have a defense.
They don't have a defense, but just...
They've got some guys on... They're such an odd team because their defense actually has a couple of studs.
Oh, yeah.
Like that.
But they're not a unit, though. They're not a cohesive unit.
No.
And just like how they keep having to move Matthews around. To try to find the best spot for him. Like, they moved him inside to help out.
Right.
When, like, he's clearly an outside rusher.
That's not because he's going to be the best there. He's the best for the team there.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, you're losing his productivity there just because they desperately need a guy there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? But, so, they're going to move him back outside this year, so. But the funny thing is, looking at their schedule, And just looking at how bad I think some of their competition is going to be, because again, we're talking about them having to play that NFC. And then I really don't think the Bears are going to be good.
I don't either. And then they get the AFC South.
And then the AFC South, there's not a game that they should even be close to losing in that
division.
That
should be 4 wins, the AFC South.
I have Green Bay at 15-1, and I feel like I'm way overshooting it, but I just it's the schedule.
Yeah, you're like, but who?
Like, I feel like they could be anywhere between 11 and 15 wins.
Now, here's the thing with this. Teddy's injury.
That's the thing that hurts them the most.
I think Teddy's injury turns this into a one-team race.
I really do.
I think Minnesota, oh my gosh. So they win the division last year. They look like the whole time they just have gotten, ever since they drafted Teddy, they've just gotten consistently better
working.
As Teddy's gotten better.
Yeah.
Like they've like everything is like coming together. And then this freak injury. I don't know if you read this. Some doctors were saying that the trainers not only probably saved Teddy's career, but saved his leg by acting so fast. The way that it dislocated and the damage that it did, that if it had been the kind of thing that wasn't so pretty immediately looked at, it could have, worst case scenario, resulted in the loss of that part of his leg.
And that's just crazy. And again, non-contact injury.
Yeah, it's nuts.
And it just breaks my heart so much because, I mean, obviously, if we haven't said it before on the podcast, which we might not have, because I don't think we really dove much into Louisville players.
Not as much.
Like, I mean, Teddy's my boy. Like,
yeah.
Oh,
I've been rooting for the Vikings since the Chris Carter, Randy Moss year. And actually, I was rooting for them before that, since Chris Carter, basically. When you know, I used to love watching the 49ers and Vikings play, because you saw, like, two of the best receivers that ever lived. You got to see them on display.
It was great games.
And then they had the Moss and Chris Carter
games. But on the flip side, you know what I hated watching?
What's that?
49ers and Lions games.
Oh.
Because of the time being a Niners fan.
Yeah.
Oh, Barry, why do you... Like,
you do
all,
us like
all
that?
Those highlights of him doing the jukes and going around everybody.
It's almost all like San Francisco. Barry, why are you going to do me like that? Don't do me like that.
Like, that just happened.
Don't juke me like that.
Wrong podcast.
So
I just feel like we need to make a Barry Sanders highlight reel now with a custom song.
Exactly.
Custom cover. Anyways.
I don't have them at 15-1, the Packers, but like only just because they just have to lose some games. Because I actually don't think the Packers are that good. Like, I think they're good. I don't think they're a good team.
I don't think that they're great.
I don't either.
But their schedule is just so favorable.
It is. So I think they've got an automatic 4 wins pretty much with the AFC South. Yeah. They've got, of their 6 games, I'll say at least 4 of them from their division. Like, they'll probably slip up once against the Vikings because they'll still be good.
Yeah.
You know? And then maybe they get one of those random really good Jay Cutler games or something, you know, like, I don't know. They've got...
Not without Matt Forte.
No, you're right. But they do play the Seahawks. They play... What else they got? They got the Falcons. That's probably... actually, now that I'm looking at it.
Yeah. Like, so you see what I'm seeing. It's just a case. It's like I can look at them and like I don't think Seattle's going to be as good.
Mm-mm.
Like Atlanta is a bad team.
I think Green Bay gets 12 or 13 wins. They might be 13-3.
Without some catastrophic injuries, I feel like 12 or 13 is a pretty easy total.
I think so too.
I think that's the only reason why I have such a crazy number.
Yeah.
Because the funny thing is, like, the number one wild card in this entire division to me is Detroit.
Yeah.
Because I think Minnesota is still going to be decent. You know, I don't think they're not going to win 12 games.
No.
I have them right now at 9-7.
Yeah, I think they'll still be around that.
Because they still are going to play enough.
They still get a pretty cupcake
They still
schedule.
Have 4 games in the AFC South.
Yeah.
I mean, and then, you know, the Bears.
The Bears.
But, like, I have no idea what Detroit's going to be.
Because
I feel like they've got a lot of talent. Because the funny thing is, I feel like they've been pretty stock talent-wise for about 6-7 years.
Uh-huh.
And it's just absolute unbelievable seesaw. Like, up and down. Just hey, we're going to go to the playoffs with 12 wins. Hey, we're a 4-win team. And the funny thing is, I feel like they've had all this talent since they've been 0-16. Like,
pretty much.
They went 0-16, and then they just stocked up.
Yeah, actually, the year after, I think, that since that year after, they were so bad. They were, I think they've been legitimately, they stockpiled maybe what might have been the most talented roster in the NFL. Like, there were a couple years where they were just unbelievably top to bottom stacked.
And still just didn't win.
Yeah, they just...
We talked about this on... Maybe not on a podcast before, but a lot of that, I feel like there was some... Because they got really stacked when Jim Schwartz was there.
Yes.
And Jim Schwartz is such an unprofessional guy.
Yep.
He just strikes me as a completely unprofessional guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And their lack of discipline...
That year, woo.
Well, their lack of discipline just screamed head coach. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
It just did.
And so they go and get Caldwell.
Yeah. Like, get the cool, calm disciplinarian there.
Exactly.
Instead. But I have no idea what they are. Because I look at them and they could be right there at 9-7, maybe a win better if all the pieces are clicking. Because the funny thing about them now is that, you know, they still have a couple of studs up front. They don't have Sue anymore, obviously, for a couple of years now. But...
And they don't have that race car, or what they call it, the NASCAR package or whatever.
Right.
They can't just, like, blow by your entire offensive line.
Right. So, the funny thing about Detroit, and it's... They built themselves to compete with Green Bay. Because it's so funny, because when you watch teams build up, I always feel like the teams that are more successful are the teams that try to beat their opponent's model instead of copy their opponent's model.
Yes.
Does that make sense? You know what I mean? Like, if you have a team that's just absolutely explosive offense, and the team that beats them is the team with the just crazy defense. It seems like that usually works. But I feel like Detroit really tried to follow Green Bay's model. Like, we're just going to build this offensive juggernaut. And then... have a couple of guys that are kind of dangerous rushers on the defensive side, sort of like Green Bay has Matthews, and try to beat them at their own game. But the thing is, Matthew Stafford is not Aaron Rodgers.
No.
The only thing that they had going for him is that Calvin Johnson is more than...
Yeah, then...
is greater than anything that Green Bay has.
Yeah.
And now they don't have that either.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
the
it's
interesting
like,
thing, I could see them, and there's this part of me that thinks this is actually going to happen, but my heart says, no, it can't be true. That their offense may look better without Calvin Johnson. And here's why. He's not their safety blanket anymore.
Right.
They all have to step up. They don't have the excuse of Calvin's the guy. You know, like...
get out of Calvin's way. It's like when you watch an NBA team that has like one star player and they just stand around and wait for him to do something.
Yes.
It's funny
it's
because...
the Carmelo Anthony effect.
Well, it's funny because the comparison I was going to make was, 2 years ago when Kentucky had Julius Randle? You know, they have this unbelievable recruiting model of bringing in everybody.
Right.
And so they have all these studs, but for whatever reason, when Julius Randle was there, they all just stood around and waited for him to do something.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, what are you all doing? Like, you have all these supposed
you
to be
are
great
really
players,
good.
Right?
Yeah.
And then he gets hurt, and then they become such a better team. So, probably much more aptly named for most of the listeners of this podcast, the Carmelo Anthony effect.
Yeah, but still.
Like, same principle. Like, I could see that being true. And because, you know, the funny thing is, like, their big free agent acquisition was Marvin Jones from Cincinnati. So, obviously, I've seen him work. He can do some crazy things.
Yeah, he's a really good wide receiver.
Is he a number one? I guess we're going to find out.
I guess so. But they do also have Golden Tate still.
And that's
who
the thing
is
that,
a borderline number one.
And that's the thing about it. It's like in Cincinnati, you had Jones and Sanu who were both solid number two.
Yeah.
I could argue before, you know, the last couple of years, I could say they had two great number threes. Neither one of them wanted to step up at number two.
Right.
And then AJ Green got hurt some, and then both of them would step up. And it's like, okay, these guys both made me legitimately number twos.
Yeah.
So you have that same effect now in Detroit. And it just amplifies that no Calvin Johnson thing. You
right.
know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So instead of having like the number one, everybody standing around and watch what Calvin does, now you've got two twos.
Who both are going to be a little
you
hungrier.
Cover? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They both are looking for, you know, validation.
Yes.
Especially Jones for getting that contract. And so it's like, who do you cover? Do you throw two guys on Marvin Jones because he's tall and fast? Or you throw two guys on Golden Tate because he's fast?
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, I don't know. I really do think they might look better this year offensively. I don't know what they're going to be defensively. I mean, they seem like they'll be fine, maybe even good, but we'll see. So with Teddy out, I think it's a toss up, which depends on if the Lions look how they look. Mm-hmm. I think they're the wild card in all this. They're either going to bottom out, or they might actually surprise us and look pretty good and compete for, you know, maybe until like week 13 or 14 for the division sort of thing. And maybe get to a wild card type situation. I could see them getting, like you said, like 9 wins maybe.
And, you know, that's the other thing to think about is that when we're looking at the NFC East and we're just immediately saying there's no wild card contender there.
No.
I mean, it just...
You've got a division winner and nobody else.
Exactly. So, I mean, and not that that means really a hill of beans, but like... that's one less division you're really competing for a wild card spot.
Yeah.
Because you know they're going to be bad. So, I mean, they could eke in. I really think they could.
Yeah. Depending on how the Vikings recover from Teddy and how the Lions recover from Calvin Johnson, I think that's going to determine who's number two. Right now, I'm taking the Vikings just because they're steadier and they're more consistent and they haven't... I mean, in the last handful of years, they've never really had a really good quarterback. Teddy just started coming along.
Right.
So I think that they've been building something for a while that has been getting progressively better. So I could see I think that they'll be like a 9-win team.
Well, and you know, the other thing that I think is going to play into Minnesota's favor is that their quarterback right now is Sean Hill.
Yeah, I think they'll get another guy.
And I think that Minnesota is absolutely fine with Sean Hill being their backup quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that when I say backup quarterback. Knowing how they've progressed, and they were in the playoffs last year, they're not looking to step back.
No.
Well, we can agree on this. Chicago is the worst team in this division.
Chicago is the worst team. It's not even close.
I have them at 4.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, they're a 5-win team. That's what I see.
Yeah.
I have them at 4 because I think that they're that bad, but they're probably a 5-win team.
I think they're going to get 5 just because they got... I mean, this division has a pretty nice schedule. So, got Green Bay with 12... just because I don't think they're good enough to get 13, but their schedule says they should probably get more.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm going to go Green Bay with 12, Minnesota with 9, Detroit with 7. I think they won't. Yeah, we'll just say Detroit with 7 and Chicago with 5. That seems like what it is.
So the most logical answer for me is Green Bay at 13, but I'm going ahead and I'm just going to say 15 because their schedule is cupcake.
It is.
I actually have Detroit at 10. And Minnesota at 9.
So you I kind of picked them to do okay in Calvin Johnson's absence. You're picking them to actually do well.
I actually have them playing better. And the reason why...
I won't be surprised if it happens.
And the dumb reason why is because it's really easy for me to look and say, why would you do that? Minnesota at 9 and Detroit at 10.
Mm-hmm.
And all the differences in the place games. Yep. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
You're talking about Minnesota slightly falling off without their quarterback.
Yep.
But Detroit being able to pick up those other two games.
Yeah, you're right.
That's the only difference that I have in the schedule. They're the exact same team, except one of them has to play a couple better teams.
Yeah.
That's the only difference that I have.
Can't argue with that.
So, yeah. That's how I ended up where I am, but... That's why Detroit will probably only win 6 games.
Is there any debate on who wins the South?
No, not at all.
This is as much of a one-team race as the North, I think.
And the funny thing is because on paper, Carolina's a better team than Green Bay.
Yeah.
The only difference is that Carolina doesn't get to play the AFC South.
Right.
So, I have Carolina at 11 wins.
Uh-huh.
Which feels low, but it's just the nature of
some of the games they have. Like the NFC West and the AFC West.
And so you're talking about having to play...
some good teams.
3 teams in the AFC West that are legit.
Yeah.
And then Arizona is obviously really good.
Yep.
I think they have to go to Seattle, and that's... as much as I don't think Seattle is as good of a team,
it's
still hard to win in Seattle.
It is. It's easier, but it's not easy.
And then this is the thing that I'm not sure that we're going to agree on. And it may be me reading too much into some of the action that I've seen, but I think Tampa Bay is going to be decent.
I agree.
Oh, we're about there.
I think the Saints are going to bottom out this division. I think this division will be more competitive than it has been in years past, though, overall.
I might not be on the same page with you when we get to our records.
I think the Falcons, Saints, and Bucks will all be between 6 and 9 wins. So I think they'll be competitive up until, like, for 3 quarters of the season. And then a couple of them, I think, will show their true colors and probably wind up, you know, where they're like 6-6 after 12 games, right. Then all of a sudden they wind up at 6-10,
yeah,
kind of thing.
I can see that.
I think Carolina, I think they still wind up with 12 wins. I think the Saints and Falcons both wind up with 6 wins. The Bucks are kind of the wild card here. I think I have this division kind of like you had, the East? I think everybody but Carolina actually winds up with 6 or 7 wins.
Wow.
I'm saying they're all going to have 6 wins except for Carolina.
I guess here's the difference for me is, do you think that New Orleans is going to bottom out? I think that New Orleans and Atlanta are both going to bottom out.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything to think Atlanta's going to be good.
I don't think either of them get any better.
The only difference between what you have and what I have is I don't have them getting as many wins as you do.
Really? You have them at what, 4
I have
or 5?
Them both at 4.
4? Wow.
I have them both at 4-12. And the thing that does is that just gives Carolina and Tampa Bay more wins.
Yeah.
Like, I think New Orleans is still a tough game in New Orleans, but not as tough as it used to be.
The more I'm looking at it, so now I'm looking more heavily into their very specific games.
Yeah.
No, I think I have the Saints at 5 wins. The Falcons.
So I feel like the ceiling for Atlanta.
I think they're at 5 wins too.
Is 6. Like,
yeah, I agree.
It feels
well,
low.
No, I take that back. I think their ceiling is 8. Only because they do have Julio Jones, who is second best receiver in the NFL. And they have Devontae Freeman, who, if he can be what he was at the beginning of last year. So, like, that's where the ceiling comes in, is like,
yeah,
the potential on
that.
I could see them getting a few extra.
Because they
games.
Started out good last year before they fell apart.
But I think they wound up 5 wins, actually. So now that I'm really looking hard at it. Saints, Falcons, 5 wins. Bucks, 6 wins. Carolina, 12.
So I have Carolina 11. I actually have Tampa at 9.
I think they're going to be okay. I don't think that they'll spend most of the year in the wild card hunt. I think they'll spend some of the year in the wild card hunt. That's what I think with the Bucks. But yeah, I do. I agree. I think they're a better team than they have been. I think they're
still struggling on defense.
But they are lucky that they're in a division where there's only one real team.
Right. Right. I mean, sometimes that's just the thing that you need to kind of boost up. And the thing is that the question that I have for you is this. So we're looking and we're more or less in agreement that we feel like Atlanta is clearly a sub 500 team.
Yep.
Is Matt Ryan done in Atlanta?
I definitely don't think he's done overall.
Right. I mean, someone's going to definitely pick him up. I mean, he definitely has. He has the talent. He's been very inconsistent. But then, you know, they've never had a defense. And the offensive line's been suspect here and there.
He's had to play Drew Brees. You know, that's the thing is I've felt like he has had to play Drew Brees before he could get to be Drew Brees.
Right.
So, like, he had, like, you know, the first couple years where he looked great. They also have steadily declined on defense the entire time he's been there.
They really have.
Like, the whole time.
And just as a side note, Darren Sharper. What? Oh, you heard all the news about him?
No.
Like,
oh, geez.
Yeah,
yes,
like,
I did. Never mind.
I mean,
at first I was like, what? And then I realized, yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Good gosh. Just awful.
Remember when the worst thing was Bounty Gate?
Yeah, no kidding.
Anyways.
Guys, we're really talking about footballs, like deflated footballs, and we've got... anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway. But, yeah, they
I still think Carolina is the clear runaway in that division.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that they probably have that division wrapped up with 3 or 4 weeks left.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. Then I think it's just a case that they're resting people because they have a couple games at the end of their schedule. It's like, it kind of sucks that I have to play them now. But you know what? We're already in the playoffs kind of a thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who cares?
And then Tampa was going to play for something. It's going to look closer, but.
Yeah, I totally agree. So that leaves the West.
And I feel like the West has a runaway winner as well.
I think so, too.
You know, it's.
I think so.
I think that they're one of those teams that one injury can derail their season.
Yes.
Unfortunately. And which is sad because I feel like
the Cardinals,
I like rooting for
by
them.
The way.
Yeah. I like rooting for them for some reason. Maybe it's the Cardinals thing.
Could be.
Maybe
could
it's
be.
Because Carson Palmer was my boy once upon a time.
I've rooted for them a little bit too, and I think it might be the Cardinals thing.
I think it is.
I think you're 100% right. They're the best team in that division, and one injury to Carson Palmer makes them suddenly probably a wild card team instead of winning the division.
Yeah, the funny thing to me is that, and we talked about this with several teams, there are so many teams that are so good, but they have like one kryptonite injury problem.
Yeah.
And they never address it.
Yeah.
Like, Carson Palmer has had a history of injuries in his career, period.
Yes.
Sure, he's been better in Arizona, but he still hasn't been untainted in Arizona.
Nope.
He's had injuries. And yet, I mean, they're still rocking John Skelton, right? Like, that's still number
two,
right?
I think so.
Either way, I don't know who their valid, legitimate second quarterback would be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, nobody.
So, we talked about so much about how, like, New England, it's always shocked me that they didn't just, like, stockpile offensive weapons. So
right.
That whenever Brady retired, they could just have whoever unload on any one of the many targets that they had.
Right, yeah.
And that's exactly
the Aaron Rodgers move.
Yeah. Oh, not even. I don't even think that they need an Aaron Rodgers. Do you want an Aaron Rodgers? Absolutely.
Of course.
But I'm saying, like, if you had, like, three crazy good receivers and two awesome tight ends.
Right.
Just an absolute plethora of weapons. Then it's one of those deals where, you know, Brady gets hurt and we plug in quarterback X and it doesn't matter. He's going to win because
right in the bottom doesn't fall out.
Yeah, because he's got ridiculous weapons. Like, I've always been shocked that they didn't stockpile to prepare for Brady's retirement.
I think they are a little bit now. But yeah, with the Cardinals, they're one injury
Drew
away
Stanton.
From Drew Stanton or one injury away from, heaven forbid, Matt Barkley. I mean, I guess on the flip side, though, so you say you get a really good backup. What's the first thing that happens? Everyone wants to trade for him because they think he can be a starter.
Yeah.
And so you get and that's what the Patriots have done really well. I mean, it was Brian Hoyer, Ryan Mallett, Matt Cassel. Those three guys who, like, actually, they, you know, people are giving pretty...
Cassler got sick money. He really did.
He got really good money.
He was the first one to come out.
Mallett got really good money from the Texans.
Yeah. And then
Hoyer.
They went and got Osweiler. Like, okay.
They couldn't go... They were going back and forth between Patriots backups. They were like, Hoyer or Mallett? We don't know. Neither of them is Tom Brady, it turns out. What were we thinking?
And Kansas City's like, I told you.
Yeah, exactly. but yeah, the Cardinals, with Palmer's injury history, it does seem like, it almost feels inevitable that he misses a couple games.
Yeah.
I think that they win this division, though, because something doesn't feel like it's one of those year-ending injury sort of years for Carson Palmer. Like, does that make any sense? Like, where you can kind of feel
it
coming?
Well, it's like I said in the AFC episode, like, this feels like a 16-game season for Ben Roethlisberger.
Right.
Because, like, there's been so many, like, random little stupid things that just, it would seem like he's due to have, like, three games gone because he, I was going to make a horrible joke, but I got nothing. But, like, you know, I just feel like he's due for 16.
Yeah. I feel like Palmer's due for 14. Yeah. I think he probably misses a couple games this year because he just seems to always. But I think that he actually winds up just getting nicked and not getting really injured.
I see, like, a injured throwing thumb or something.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, one of those. When
maybe
when
he slices his thumb with a pair of scissors. Yeah, I mean, of all the things, Tom Brady. What
you know, Brady's starting tonight, and they're making a big deal about it because it's the first time he started fourth game of a preseason in like so long.
Right. Because he's just like, I need some reps. I got to play some football.
I feel like Arizona is like a 12-win team.
I think so, too.
I think their ceiling is like 14.
Yeah. And their floor is probably just 10.
Yeah, 10 or 11.
Yeah. I think that's as low as they go. I think they're, depending on how many games Carson Palmer plays this year, I think they're between 10 and 14. So I'm sticking them in the middle at 12.
Yeah. It feels like their defense is solid.
Yep.
So their defense is going to keep them in games.
Yeah.
Even if Palmer has to go out and Stanton has to come in. It could be a manner of managing a game and just having to make a few plays.
Right. And he seems to do that fine.
Yeah. He seems like a guy that could take over and become a starting quarterback.
Right. But never actually will.
Yeah. But you hope that it doesn't happen. Sorry, Drew Stanton. This is Michigan State, guys. I don't know what it is. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like there's a string of Michigan State guys that it's like...
We're like, oh, these are going to be really good
backups.
They should
draft him.
Yeah. And I'm going to assume you have the Seahawks in second, but the Rams could... No, the Rams are going to be... Their defense is really good, but that's the staple.
Losing those two corners
West.
Hurt.
Yeah. The staple of the West is their defense. This is one of those things, though, like you talked about. Every one of these teams built their teams the exact same way.
Yeah.
They went after defense. And offense was kind of secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, ever since the Kurt Warner years at Arizona, that's how every team has done it.
Yeah.
Like the 49ers, they were so good those years because Harbaugh built a monster defense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, Mike Singletary, and he kind of was the one who built the monster defense. Yeah. And then Harbaugh
was like, I will take
them.
Yeah.
And it's funny because people don't.
I guess it's because he didn't win. But, like, again, to use a local sports terminology here, like, you know, how much crap did Tubby get for winning with Patino's team?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, yeah. No one's ever like, oh, Harbaugh went to the NFC Championship with Singletary's team. Everybody's like, Singletary was a horrible coach. I'm like, was he?
He
seemed like he was doing something.
But I guess you can also
win
just give that. Can't win with him? Man, that was... Harbaugh's like... Can win with them.
Yep.
Because they didn't change really anything.
They really didn't. But, I mean, they had so many studs all over the field.
Yeah. The biggest
and then
mistake.
They got such a great year out of Kaepernick.
The biggest mistake they made was switching to Kaepernick, I think. I think Alex Smith, because Alex Smith has stayed the Alex Smith that he was and that he was always going to be. He, you know, once they got some, you know, because he's had good coaches ever since. Since they got Harbaugh, he's looked really good. And then he went to Kansas City where they've got Andy Reid and he's looked, you know, really good.
Yeah.
He's not the guy who's going to win you a bunch of games. He doesn't lose you any games, really. And he does win you some games.
Yeah. They got a flash in the pan season out of Kaepernick.
Yeah.
The year and a half that the run option was like the
right.
newest thing when it's been around for like 100 years.
I know.
Like, you know, that's what we did before we had the forward pass.
Exactly.
Anyways, it's such a new concept.
Yeah.
With that being said, I think San Francisco is the clear bad team in this division.
They are.
I have them at 5.
I don't. I have them.
I'm trying to remember why
I have
them
at 3.
Five.
I have them at number 1 pick in the draft.
3 makes sense. I can't remember why I gave them 5.
I'm just looking at their
who they
schedule. And even if they had a cupcake schedule, I would still say maybe 4. Like, I think they're so bad. Here's the only chance they have. They do start Kaepernick. And Chip Kelly does use the run option and uses it well.
Yeah.
I don't think they do either of those things.
No.
I think Kaepernick's gone.
The ironic thing is that it would be you know, into a similar vein of like the Oregon style offense.
Yeah, that's exactly the way you mentioned, like, the way you can beat these really good defenses in this league is having just a high power, just like go, go, go offense. Like, if you can manage that, but you've got to have the right style quarterback. They have the right style quarterback who I think they won't play.
Yeah, I agree.
And now I don't know that he would be great, but I think that's his best chance and their best chance.
I agree. And the sad thing is that I feel like even if they did give him the chance, because I have, for some reason, just have this like small inkling that I feel like at some point Chip Kelly's going to be like, we need you to win those some games. And he's going to stick him out there. I feel like he's so inside his own head at this point.
Yeah.
That I don't even know if he could do it given the chance.
You
and it makes me totally sad, because it's not that I ever liked Kaepernick, but it's one of those deals where, being a 49ers fan glory days, the couple years that he had the run with Harbaugh, man, it felt like we were building something. See, you know what I mean? It felt like, you know, oh.
I jumped off when they got rid of Alex Smith. When they made the switch, when you know, what was at the end of the season or whatever, when they made the switch, I was done. I was like, man, that's it. All right. I kind of very loosely held on because at least they had Harbaugh. And then when they had Harbaugh, I was like, and I'm 100% out.
Yeah. Same here.
Like, I keep hitting
and the funny
table.
Thing is, like, I don't even like Harbaugh. I don't like any of the Harbaughs.
Yeah, but he got good stuff out of them.
He did.
They literally had 1 year that wasn't great and got rid of him.
Yeah.
I mean, there was
clearly a front office.
Obviously,
there.
Yeah, they did not get along.
It was stupid. Yeah. It was really stupid. But so I have Arizona 12.
Uh-huh.
I have Seattle at 8.
Really?
Then I have LA, St. Los Angeles at 7. And then I have San Fran at 5.
See, I've got San Fran at 3. I've got Los Luis at I have them at 6 wins. I think, because I still think their defense will be good enough to win them some games, but I wouldn't be that surprised to see them go down to 4-5, though.
Yeah.
Seattle, I think Seattle's going to be better. They just seem, even when I want them to be bad, because for some reason, I don't like the Seahawks. And
I don't
know
either.
Why.
See, I think part of it for me is Pete Carroll.
Maybe that's it.
And I don't know, because I genuinely have a distaste for USC.
Yeah.
I don't really know
Maybe
exactly why.
There's something to that. I
and
think
so, like,
to both
ever since
things.
He's been there, it's been like, oh. And the funny thing is I didn't notice it until everybody started ragging on him about it.
Uh-huh.
With Russell Wilson's interviews, you know.
Right.
And how, like, over-the-top cheesy they are about how great he thinks he is in them, you know.
Uh-huh.
But, like, I want to like Russell Wilson, too.
I know.
And yet, somehow, I almost don't even like him.
Yeah, I know.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's like, do I not just like him because of Seattle? Like, I don't know. I think he's just not.
Yeah, it's tough. So, I still think they wind up, though, with 10 wins.
I just don't know if Thomas Rawls is going to be as good in a full season as he did in a stretch.
I think he'll be fine. That's how
I don't think he's going to be bad at all.
Right. That's where
but
I
But he
see
get
him.
Hurt last year.
Yeah.
You know, like, he played really well in the absence of Lynch. And then he got hurt. And now Lynch is gone. So, it's like, you have to be the guy now. Does he live up to it? Like, I think he could, because the thing is, like, that offensive line hasn't changed much.
No.
But they're not as good as they were 3 years ago.
I think, I mean, still one of the biggest mistakes they've made has been, and this wound up being bad for both teams. Why did they get Jimmy Graham? Why did they make that trade?
I don't know.
Like, when they're not going to throw to him. Like, that's the thing that kills me, is they don't, if you get Jimmy Graham, use Jimmy Graham.
Right.
Like, you just traded for a decoy?
It's like
that was what
it's
you
It's like
wanted?
You went out and got one of the most overpaid decoys.
Yeah.
In the league. And, like, what? You have no idea what to do with him? Like, you right. can't watch, like, 6 years of New Orleans film and right. figure that out?
Of him looking like, I mean, him being legitimately, it's Gronk and Jimmy Graham, who's the better tight end?
Yeah.
And then you move him to Seattle and you're like, Jimmy who?
Right.
like,
I have the hardest time believing that they won't make better use of him this year.
I think they won't.
But at the same time,
I think he will wind up being lost in this team. I think that he will be on this team, won't be a part of the team, and will be gone after this year.
I can't disagree with that.
I think he'll wind up with 40 catches, maybe.
Maybe two touchdowns.
Three touchdowns. And a no-show on the stat lines. Like, if you drafted Jimmy Graham as your tight end, I hope you got him in, like, the 10th round. Because yeah. Otherwise, I think you kind of blew a pick.
Yeah. Which is so sad to say, just looking at that body of work, man. It's like, God, look at him in New Orleans.
But yeah, so I
how the mighty have fallen.
12 wins for Arizona. It's pretty straightforward, actually. The order is the same either way.
Yeah.
So I think, what do you think is the big storyline? Are there any, other than the injured quarterbacks, anything to watch out for the NFC?
I think the biggest single storyline that I'm watching in the NFC is comeback stories. There's obviously the cases of the injuries that we've had to, you know, major players, primarily the two big quarterbacks in Dallas and Minnesota. But, you know, so much of we're banking on Green Bay getting 12, 13 wins is them coming back with a fire.
Right.
You know, they need their receiving core to come back and be great.
They do.
Like, if they're not great, then they're not going to have 12, 13, 15 wins.
Yeah, no, you're right.
They're a 9-10 win team.
I agree.
They might still win that division with that record.
Right.
And
they wouldn't have this Teddy injury throws that whole, mm-hmm. You know, if Green Bay only played decent this year with Teddy in there, I think they lose the division.
I agree.
I think the Packers lose the division, but
it felt like Minnesota was building something.
See, the thing is, how long does Adrian Peterson have? Especially if they're going to have this year where they're going to have to put even more on his shoulders than normal, because who are they going to have as the quarterback? I mean, this might be it. This might be the last hurrah of the great Adrian Peterson.
Well, and the other thing to think about is the number of guys stepping away from the game in what seems like their prime. If Adrian Peterson runs his way to close to 2,000 yards this year, close to 20 touchdowns, carries this team on his back to a wild card or just outside of a wild card, more likely, why not? Like, what more could you give? You say, well, I'm going to hope my quarterback comes back next year and hope that I can do the same thing.
I think he would come back because he would hope that getting the quarterback again, but I think he would come back with his legs just not
depleted,
what they were.
You know?
Yeah. I think, man, this Teddy Bridgewater injury, like, I know he's not a superstar quarterback,
but it feels like this is the year that he might have become one.
Yeah, it comes at a pivotal time for the division, for the team, for Adrian Peterson's career. I think that's why there were all the reports of, as soon as he went down, a hush fell over everyone except for players just screaming obscenities because they just knew.
Yeah.
That, you know, because they felt like this was like their year, like their for real year, like we're going to make a real run.
Oh, yeah.
And just gone.
Yeah. Completely.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't disagree at all. So, but I think that this is the year in the NFC anyways, and you know, arguably this is the story in both conferences every year. But I feel like more than ever, I just look down the list of teams and I feel like it's, what have you done for me lately, Mr. Quarterback?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's so many teams, like, you know, what is Jay Cutler coming to an end in Chicago? What is Matt Ryan going to do in Atlanta? Is Drew Brees done in New Orleans? What do we do if Carson Palmer gets a serious injury in Arizona?
Yeah.
Granted, that's not as much the same story as the other guys.
True. But,
like, we're at the crossroads for Kaepernick. We're at a crossroads for Romo.
Mm-hmm.
We're at a crossroads for Matthew Stafford, I think.
I think you're probably right,
because
too.
It just feels like,
I think this is a very important year for him.
And it's like, you know, I have them with that 10 wins, and the way that I see the division shaking out, like, I think that's going to give them a wild card spot.
Yeah.
In the NFC. But if they don't get to 10 wins, if they only get to 8 or 9, and they don't make the playoffs, at some point Detroit's got to be saying, it's time to rethink things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, I'm sure that if they were to cut Stafford. Stafford would end up somewhere immediately.
Uh-huh.
But
you know,
how long do you continue to pay him that money?
The interesting thing is, so you do look around the league, you look at the quarterbacks, right? So, you know, you're looking at the AFC, you've got your Tom Brady, Andy Dalton, Ben Roethlisberger, Joe Flacco, Andrew Luck. I mean, that's the AFC. Everybody else is like...
That's one of those.
There's nobody who you're like, oh, they're going to be somebody's franchise quarterback.
Right.
There's nobody else in the AFC who's like, they are going... You know,
pretty much all the rest of those teams, it's like it's that guy and whoever the backup is are almost interchangeable.
The only two young guys who have like seemingly, I think, kind of established themselves as like up there elite quarterbacks or near elite quarterbacks are Cam Newton and Andrew Luck. So like the thing I was getting at is the quarterback's a dying breed right now.
Yeah.
They're aging out. Because even, I mean, you've got Tom Brady who can't be more than a few years. Aaron Rodgers, maybe another couple years more than that. But Aaron Rodgers isn't all that young. And he is injury prone.
Yeah.
Like, or at least he's not an Iron Man by any means. You know, Roethlisberger is getting up there in years.
He's
really injury prone.
Yeah.
Phillip Rivers is about to be gone, I would think. Romo, we're pretty much,
obviously,
we think he's
we've
done.
Gone ad nauseum about Romo at this point.
Eli might stick around for a while, but he's still going to be Eli.
Yeah.
He's never going to be, like, take over the league.
Yeah. If there's any point that we say Eli's the best quarterback in the game, it's because six or seven guys retired, nobody
exactly.
else stepped up.
And that's what I'm looking at here is, like, who's going to step up? I think you're going to wind up with, like, Cam Newton and Russell Wilson with... Oh, well, Russell Wilson, too. And Andrew Luck. I think those three guys seem to be the future.
And yet,
and
when, you,
these
talk,
young
when
guys
you think
look
of
like
them now, you don't think of any of them as being like, maybe Luck. Maybe a lot of people still look at Luck as like the second coming of Elway and they think
right.
it's going to be great. But like Newton and Wilson are so not prototypical quarterbacks.
Right. And so I think they because.
Is the mold changing or is there just not anybody that fits the mold right now?
I think there's a little of both.
Like you would never think of them in the same vein as you do Brady
right.
or Manning or Montana or Elway. But I think that's just the new model.
Yeah, yeah. It's not so much that they're not as good as those guys were at their age or anything. It's that they play a different game.
Yeah.
Essentially, like
oh yeah,
like they're playing football. They're both playing the quarterback position, but not the same. Quarterback position.
Right.
And so it's going to be interesting to see if quarterbacks become devalued the way that they are in college football. As these elites age out and the new crop of elites are this different style, you're not so much threatened by their air attack as much as their just overall quarterbacking ability.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, you're not worried about them airing it out, but they can. It's just that they play a different style. And so, but because they're not an air it out type quarterback, it's like, well, I mean, how much different is it than like some of these okay guys?
Yeah. I think the closest comparison that I could make that perhaps, maybe it's not a comparison that people want to hear because of the whole steroids thing, but like baseball.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like the guys that everybody was enamored with for so long were... The guys sitting on the home runs.
Right, the giant sluggers.
And so you had this era from Marino to Peyton Manning that's like stats, throw it, bomb it, let's build up the numbers.
Right.
I mean, Drew Brees still very much is one of those guys.
He's still one
that
of those
like,
guys, yeah.
I mean, when you start crossing into like 4,000-5,000 yards.
Yeah.
6,000 yards in a season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's sick.
Yeah.
That's sick. But, like, I mean, those are the kind of numbers that those guys put up. And it's funny because those are the kind of numbers that, like, every Big 12 quarterback puts up.
Right.
But one, two of those guys are going to play in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, so it's the nature of the game. And you can see the game is different in different areas. And you see in the SEC is where they built so much around playmaker and around speed. And you know what? Don't turn the ball over if you're going to be our quarterback.
And you know what happens when you're... When you start building them around that, you go through quarterbacks a lot faster.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't stay that fast forever. You know, Cam Newton can bulldoze over a linebacker right now.
Yeah.
Give him a couple more years, though, and when the new crop of linebackers are coming out And they're just as fast as they were his rookie season, yep. but he's not as fast and strong as he was his rookie season.
Right.
I'll be interested to see how the style changes.
Yeah.
And that's where I could see the devaluing happening, is that...
Well, just think about how much we devalued running backs. As you know? Well.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same thing is going to happen with quarterbacks. It feels like it's already happening. It feels like we're really seeing it. Like, we keep talking about how, man, there's just not that many guys that I would want to start my franchise with.
Yeah.
So, but, you give them, a couple years to retire, and then all we're going to have left is that group in the middle that we're like, I don't know if I would.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be like, I could start one with any of those, because I'm going to be building a defense and all these playmakers, and they're going to be able to get it done regardless.
Right.
Is that the new model? Mm-hmm. Seems like it is.
I do think back, though, like, even when we go back, how often were there tons of elite quarterbacks? You know, I guess there never really were. I guess you really only get a handful. There's mm-hmm. always, like, four. And then the rest of the league is like, we want one of those four guys.
Exactly, yeah.
And, you know, even you go back to Marino's days, there's, like, Marino, Montana, Elway, Jim Kelly. You know, like, there weren't that many guys.
Yeah, it's always been that way. So, but it definitely seems like
maybe the sky isn't second falling, tier. But...
yeah, it seems like that second tier changes.
Yeah, the second tier changes. And so maybe, I mean, you know, if we
I think really what we're waiting on is we're waiting on the first tier to change.
Right. Yeah, because I guess if Andrew Luck, Cam Newton, Russell Wilson, and like maybe one of these other guys who look like they could maybe be that, if they step up to that elite level, then it'll just be the same as it always was.
It will be, except for I still think you're going to see Cam and Russell running more option.
Yeah, I think so,
too. Not that, I mean, like, I love Steve Young. Steve Young, he was a runner, man. It was fun to watch him until would get hit. Man, I wish they had a little more slide rule back then.
No kidding.
Steve Young might have been around a little longer. Anyways.
Might have been.
But it's just the game evolves.
Yeah.
You know, like, every position, every guy gets bigger, stronger, and faster.
Exactly.
It's like one of the things that I always hate to hear people say is, I'd like to see them try to play against the 85 Bears defense.
Like, are you sure?
Yes. Then, if they were that other team during that era,
yeah,
they would have a hard time. But it's just the nature of the game. Like, every year, athletes get bigger, stronger, and faster.
Yeah, because our
the Jacksonville Jaguars offense right now would run over the 85
Bears.
Yeah. I'm sorry, purists out there that hate me for saying that, but it's the truth.
Yeah, listen, they're... Like you said, they're bigger, they're faster.
Just watch the video of them running and making those tackles. They would get run by so fast by any of the receivers right now. And it's just the nature of the game. It's how it evolves.
Yeah. We know what we're doing more, like, from a scientific standpoint of how to keep athletes and get them into peak condition and keep them in peak condition as long as possible.
Right. Right.
You know, like, so now if they did the same thing with those 85 Bears, maybe we're talking a different thing.
Right.
Because then they're playing the same game that these guys are playing.
Exactly.
But they played two completely different versions of football.
Right. You know, and the example to give, and we may have even said this on the AFC cast, I'm sure, but in 97, 98, 99, when Terrell Davis had his great three-year run in Denver. And remember, three-year run.
That seemed like the beginning of when those started, too.
An ACL injury was the end of your career.
Yeah.
No matter what position you were at. Like, you tore an ACL, you're done. What is the linebacker for the Panthers? I lost his name. Shoot. I'm going to have to look it up now. Well, he's had his ACL repair like four times.
Oh, I know who you're talking
about.
Yeah. The name is escaping me.
I know. I can't get it there. I can see his face. I see his number.
Yeah, it's right. It's on the tip of my tongue.
It's right on the tip of ESPN.
Yeah. We're trying, guys. We're trying.
You know that guy that plays for the Panthers? You know there's someone at home right now going, come on, guys. Come on. You know this. It's insert name here.
And, of course, everything is moving.
What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
But, yeah, like, people last longer. Players last longer.
Stall for time.
I've got nothing. This is going to be
the first part of our third podcast.
Right, exactly. So this, honestly, I think will be one of the more interesting years we've had of football. Like, there are a lot of storylines. I think we're hitting that changing of the guard sort of time period, and that's, you know, part of what I was alluding to with the quarterback stuff. Is this is we're in an interesting transition period. It doesn't seem like we've got a bunch of stable guys. Thomas Davis? Thomas Davis is the linebacker, guys.
I was telling you that! You guys wouldn't listen to me.
You were so close. It was another TD. It was another Davis. Another T. Davis.
What?
But yeah.
Coincidence?
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't
it be? It's funny that like it's literally a comparison of yesteryear and now
mm-hmm.
with two TDs.
Two T. Davises.
You know what I mean? Like,
yep. Well, let's just wrap up on our ineptitude then.
Playoffs. So I have Green Bay as the number one seed. I have Arizona as two. I have Carolina as three, and the Giants as four. My wild card teams are going to be Detroit and Minnesota.
So my division winners were Dallas, Green Bay, Carolina, and Arizona. I think the wild card teams will be Seattle and Minnesota. So not that much different than last year, just with the change of the Cowboys, pretty much, instead of the Redskins.
Well, and you know what's ironic again, is that it's usually not that different.
Yep, there's...
You know, I mean, it's usually like one or two teams.
Mm-hmm.
And those part one or two teams change each conference. Year, so...
Yep.
By the time 3 years are gone around, you might see, you know, six different teams in a conference.
Exactly. So, well, now that we've done both divisions real quick, or both conferences, rather, who you got in the Super Bowl?
Ooh.
I know it's way early.
So, my way too early Super Bowl pick at this point, Arizona, New England. Man. Because you know every bit of me wants to say Arizona.
I know.
Just to smite you.
I know.
No.
Well, there's plenty of logic to it, too, though.
I think I'm going to say New England over Arizona.
You know, okay, so... I said in the last podcast that I think the Steelers are the best team in the AFC, but
you know what's funny like is they've looked year. Really bad in the preseason.
They have.
You're like, right. We were talking about how great they were, and their offense has not clicked. Now, I wonder if they're out there just absolute vanilla-ing the crap out of it, so everybody will
right.
think that they can just beat them, and then they're just going to roll over. Everybody.
Right. I mean, every year, there have been years that the Patriots went 0-4 in the preseason and looked terrible, and then week one, they look like the Patriots. So, I'm very familiar with this.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I really give almost no credence to the preseason. So, I'm taking the Patriots in the AFC. In the NFC, I don't think the Panthers make it back. It's just so tough for, like, the team that lost to make it back. It just almost never happens.
I mean, in a lot of cases, sometimes they don't even win the division again.
Yeah. And I don't think they're in much danger of that.
They're such a bad division. That...
I think, you know, short of Cam Newton getting hurt, like, literally everyone else could get hurt and they're still going to win their division. As long as they have
Cam Newton.
The
funny thing is, like, I do feel like Cam Newton was by far definitely the most deserving MVP candidate last year, without a doubt. Clear winner, deserved it. Carried that team in two or three games. Like, they should have lost. And he was like,
yes. He's like,
no,
nope.
We're going to win. But, you know, the ironic thing is I think that defense is so good and that running game is so good. And they're going to have Benjamin back.
Yeah.
I think that they might be able to win without him.
Oh, yeah. I think they could win their division without him.
You know, I don't even have a clue who their backup is.
No one does.
He's never
I don't think Cam Newton does.
Cam Newton's like, who's going to play?
But, okay, so in the NFC, I'm torn between the Packers and the Cardinals. And I think... whichever one, they will be facing the Panthers in the NFC Championship. I think Panthers are just going to be, they're going to be the number two team in the NFC. I think they're the best team in the NFC, much like Pittsburgh's the best team in the AFC. And I think they will both wind up like conference championship and lose.
Yeah.
And then I think, I don't want to pick them because you did. I like the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals, I do. I think
I
want to
root
year.
For them, but for some reason, it just feels like it's going to be a shootout.
Yeah.
And even that logic doesn't make sense because in a shootout, I'd pick the better defense.
Yeah. And, well, you pick the better defense unless it's Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. Like, there's like two, or I guess Drew Brees, maybe, sometimes, a couple years ago. But yeah, so I'm taking the Patriots and I just feel... awful because it feels like I'm jinxing them. I can't believe we got to the same Super Bowl with the same winning team. That is interesting.
Yeah.
I do think if I were to pick the two best teams from each conference, I'd have the Steelers versus the Panthers with the Panthers winning. But since that pretty much never happens.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is, obviously, I don't want to pick New England.
Mm-hmm.
Girls, you know, my team being in the AFC, I want to pick my team. The funny thing is, because you always look at teams, and it's always about who's playing strong at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Brady has to sit at the beginning of the season just means there's more momentum for him to be throwing better at the end.
Yeah, you know, I mean, agree.
Like, sounds dumb. It seems like a stupid equivalency. But
I see it. So, well, there you guys have it. I mean, I don't know why we're even going to watch. We already know what's going to happen. We just told you.
So, MVP see you all of the 2017. Season,
Dak Prescott for MVP.
Oh, man. Well, let me ask you this. This is the stupidest question to ask right now because we've seen so little of anybody.
Okay.
Rookie of the year.
Oh, gosh. I actually think Ezekiel Elliott. I think it's him. I do think it's him.
I can't hate. He's the most clear, obvious, gonna have legit playing time candidate.
Like, he's got it served up for him on a silver platter if he doesn't get hurt and he seizes it. You know what I mean? Like, you couldn't have a better offensive line to run behind. That helps.
Last question.
Uh-huh.
Just because it always ends up being, you know, one of the hot topics. Three coaches that don't have jobs after this season.
Oh, man. I have one queued up that you won't like. I think Marvin's gone. Yeah, Cincinnati, I think they're going to turn over. I think Caldwell loses his job if the Lions don't do well. But I don't know. I think they'll be close. So I'm not, I guess I won't necessarily pick him. I think Sean Payton's done. I think this will be it for Sean Payton.
I can see that. That makes a lot of sense.
And Rex Ryan.
Got a bonus one in there.
Yeah. Well, I pulled back on the Caldwell.
True.
So,
no, not really.
Like, maybe. Like, it,
his seat is lukewarm.
That's it. His seat is lukewarm. Let's see if they turn the heat up on his seat as the season goes on. Yeah. Matthew Stafford is either going to set his seat on fire or is going to put it out. We'll see which one.
So we both basically unanimously agreed that San Fran's going to be a terrible team.
Yep.
Does Chip Kelly get a second year?
No. Actually, you know what? Yeah, so there's another one. There's another bonus. Thank you,
son. That's kind of what I was waiting on.
I think Chip Kelly is, because in my mind, he's already coaching college again. Like, he's already back there. Like, I don't even consider it. Yeah. Anyway, we could get into way more. We've already been doing this for 2 hours, so.
Well,
see you guys in a few weeks. Roll the jingle.
We should have thought of a better ending.
EndangerouslyCreative.com